Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing, and Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here, brought to you, of course, by Holly Gerrans and your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. RV, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Joe, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you, good sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. And actually, I didn't watch that show a lot either, but I know that that was based loosely on Hayden Fry. I think Derek is right. It was Minnesota State.
Yeah, it was Hayden coach. Fox. So
which,
I guess
which
it's
has
close.
To be. It has
yeah.
to be.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
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 So yeah, Craig T. Nelson, baby.
So Joe, the Titans, you know, you and I were here Monday, and Derek and I have talked about this every day. Special teams was a huge issue. And I know that the Tana stands think that, you know, he should have started week one, but that's revisionist history. I do think you can go back and look at this decision by Vrabel and Robinson and the group think over there for the Tennessee Titans and say, if it works out in these last two games with Greg Joseph, now the kicker for the Tennessee Titans, that you could argue, why wasn't this move made earlier?
No, totally. I think it's two totally different things. You know, I think there's no way to me that you can argue that, considering what Mariota had done and what you had at stake with him and what you didn't know about Tannehill, that you could just say, okay, that's it. We got Tannehill. Bye. You know, it's a revisionist history. I went back and forth on Twitter yesterday with someone who was like, well, I'll just go with the better arm, better action. I'm like, well, look, if you were out at camp every day, you didn't come away every day saying, oh, Tannehill's so much better than Mariota. It's just not true. So that one, I know it's going to be hammered by some people if they don't get in, but I just don't buy that at all. I think the timing was, you know, probably about right. I even thought maybe you give Mariota one more chance, but you know, obviously it's a good thing they didn't. As far as the kicker, though, I think they can be absolutely criticized because – I mean, Ryan Succop, we wondered if it was, you know, if it was good timing for him health-wise. He comes right out and misses three kicks at Carolina, and then he really didn't have opportunities for a few weeks. But when then you look at the kickoffs, you finally have to go get a kickoff specialist, who, by the way, isn't a good kickoff specialist. And the whole thing is just, I think, really has been mismanaged. And I think, look, Cody Parkey, who apparently, I don't know, does Cody Parkey never want to kick again? I don't know, but he was 3 for 3. He had missed an extra point, but he was 9 for 12 on touchbacks, and he was doing all right. And maybe, you know, you go a little longer until you're sure on Succop, and now we'll see who this guy comes in with some pressure on him, Joseph, to see, because, you know, chances are one or both of these games is going to be a big kick for the Titans.
Now, the Tennessee Titans, they were able to run the ball last week, maybe not like the way they wanted to, but they still were able to run a ball. But it was noticeable that Derrick Henry wasn't close to being healthy. There were several runs during that game that, you know, 2 weeks ago he would have broken. It would have been a 30 or 40-yard game, but they end up being, you know, 10, 12, 15-yard games. Going into this game against a high-powered New Orleans offense, can they do what they've been doing with a 75 to 80% Derrick Henry?
Well, you know, first of all, I think it's a good sign, Derrick, that he was out there for partial participation yesterday. I mean, obviously last week he was totally out. And so maybe that's a sign that it's going in the right direction. I mean, certainly you could tell Sunday that wasn't full-blown Derrick Henry. You know, I still think a guy who can batter his way for 4 or 5 yards in there and be a powerful back, even if he isn't as much of a threat to pop it outside and go for 50, I still think there's a lot of value in that against this team because, you know, those 9-minute touchdown drives like you had to start the second half against the Texans, you could use some of those Sunday. So I think there's value. There's also the question of, you know, if the Texans do clinch the division on Saturday against Tampa Bay, you could make the case to sit Derrick Henry. Now there are still, and actually John Glennon, you know, wrote these all up on theathletic.com today, but there's still a scenario of a three-way tie, 8-8, that would burn the Titans. You know, if the Colts got there and they would lose out because of the Colts being in a three-way tie, in which case you would say, man, you really needed to win that Saints game. But that's the only scenario where the Saints game would matter anymore if the division is done this week. So, and Mike Vrabel even kind of, you know, he was at Glennon Aston yesterday and he said, you know, he sort of opened the door that there may be some decisions based on how the game goes Saturday.
Joe Rexroth joining us here from The Athletic. So when we sat down on Monday, we said, man, special teams, huge concern. Secondary, huge concern moving into these final two games when you play Breeze and Thomas and Kamara versus, and then again Watson and Hopkins. And Adoree Jackson looks like he's a limited participant in practice. You're getting healthier. Derrick Henry, as you just talked about, getting healthier. Are you more confident today than you were on Monday when I sat here for 4 hours and we discussed how dire the Titans' needs are going into the final two games?
Yeah, Dory especially is why. So definitely, because I just, you know, again, you put a Dory on that in that Texans game. And it's not like Will Fuller killed the Titans, but he did have the big fade. And, of course, still out of the slot, got 2 touchdowns when they were in man. Just having a guy who can run with people, and I, you know, they're not going to put Adoree out there if he's still hobbling. I mean, when he's out there, you know, it's because he can be him again, and he's the one guy they have who can run with fast guys in the league, and they can feel okay about it. So I feel better about their chances, especially because, I mean, the Texans game is, you know, in all likelihood, the more important one for both things. Obviously, if the division's on the line. And then, you know, of course, when it comes to the Steelers, you know, you need help there, but you also the win over the Texans is more important for the AFC win. So if he's back now, then you feel like that's a pretty good chance. Maybe he doesn't play this week, but that definitely trends toward him being back and maybe in good shape for the finale. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I with Henry out there and him, you've got to feel better because you just don't know with something like the Dory had. Like, how long is it? You know, it wasn't season end. He was on IR, but you didn't know. And he's been moving around fine. So, and we're talking about just like in the locker room, stuff like that. He hasn't had any boot on or anything like that. So, I think that is encouraging. Another guy you didn't mention, Braden, who I think is a big concern Sunday, is Jared Cook. And we know what tight ends have done to the Titans at times. And that's playing these guys is just, it's a headache. And it's got to be, Dean P's got to be like, man, this is really what I get for 3 straight weeks, you know, dealing with these teams. But that's another guy that can really do damage to the Titans all day.
Now, Joe, the Titans did a good job at sort of digging themselves out of the hole and becoming one of the hottest teams in the National Football League the last, you know, 9 games of the season, or at least the last 7 or 8. Tannehill has become one of the hottest quarterbacks in, you know, whatever happens at the end of the season for him, he's earned himself a lot of money. If this team loses 3 in a row after what they've what they were able to accomplish in the middle of the season. What would be the headlines? If they lose 3 in a row, finish 8-8, what then would be the headlines?
I think it's a twofold headline, and it's a, you know, it's a balanced, you know, upper and downer headline. You know, one is that the Titans botched the kicking situation, and it really cost them this year. And two is that things look better for the future than they did, you know, a year ago because of Tannehill, because Henry has demonstrated it for another year. You know, there's a lot to like about this roster. And, you know, in the NFL, I mean, look, you can every team has a bunch of shoulda, couldas every year. But I think you can look at this team and project something better next year if they're able to keep the key people, add to it a little bit. Certainly they need more pass rush. We know that. But I think it's a twofold of they really botched an opportunity this year, but you have to feel good about 2020 and what they could be. And I think a year ago, guys, if you look back, you know, Nissan Stadium, win an end game, Mariota can't play. It's a nerve thing. You just don't know what that means for his future. Andrew Luck's on the other side looking great, and you're like, when's this team winning the division again, you know? And you can still look at it that way with Watson because he's great. You know, he's just that's going to be a tough team to beat. But still, I think you have to feel better about the long-term prospects right now than you did 1 year ago.
What if they go 8-8 and make the playoffs, Joe? Because that could still happen too. So
yeah,
just something to think about.
Well, it probably means they're going to Houston for like a third game in 4 weeks. So
or Kansas City to play a team that scores up that, you know, that put up like 600 yards of offense on them a couple of weeks ago. Last one, because right. I'll throw you a bone here because I know you're a huge hoops guy. Not a good night last night for the SEC with LSU losing to ETSU, Tennessee losing to Cincinnati, Kentucky falling as well. What do you make of what you saw around the college basketball world last night? Does it really mean anything to you at this stage of the season?
Well, I wrote about ETSU, so that should be going up this morning because they deserve some love. That's a really good team. I mean, they lost to North Dakota State on the road. They lost by, you know, a really good game at Kansas. It's loaded with seniors. Steve Forbes has had a good program, but I really think that's a mid-major kind of team that could do damage. And, of course, you know, the SoCon, that's no picnic. I mean, Wofford and Greensboro, Furman, I mean, that's a tough league, but that is a really good team, and that's a heck of a win at LSU. LSU is still loaded. But, yeah, the SEC has been a disappointment. I think that was a tough loss for Tennessee last night. I thought Tennessee could get that win. They played better offensively. I mean, it's hard to not play better than you did against Memphis, but they played better than defensively. They had too many miscues, too many holes there, and then, you know, a lot of bad turnovers. I mean, 14 turnovers. I think Lamonte Turner had 4. Right now that team's scuffling a little bit, and I think that team is – I mean, they're going to be right on that line, it looks like, you know, as far as getting the tournament. And the SEC is not going to be as helpful as we thought. It's just been a bad non-league season for the league. Kentucky, again, with a bad loss. You know, and Vanderbilt last night, you know, two terrific players. And it's going to give them a chance to win some SEC games. But when you lose Cleavon Brown, and hopefully he's not out long, but, you know, knee injury, that's never good to hear. I mean, they are so thin inside, and you saw that with the way Troutwood took advantage of them out in Phoenix, which is just a weird 3:30 local Phoenix Loyola against Vanderbilt on a Wednesday and like 10 people watching. But you know, it was a Hall of Fame classic. So
well, but you watched every second, Joe.
I watched.
God bless you. God bless you, sir. All right, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. And obviously, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. See
you. There you have it. Joe Rexford from The Athletic, brought to you by Holly Gerrans and your local GEICO agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, your home, your motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. That's right, your RV, Derek, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with GEICO. All right, we've got our $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa question. We're going to give that away when we come back. We'll give you that question. Again, at 1025_MD, make sure you're following that account and tweeting at that account when we give you the question next segment, as well as National Signing Day. Tennessee, big winners yesterday. We'll explain when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025, The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.